sunset, that will be a really good time. It's my pleasure to welcome David to share with us. So can we give him a welcome, please, as he comes to share? I've been ordered to stay here, so I'm staying. Right, we've got something here that might shock you. Just turn it around. Yeah. Right, okay, now what I want you to do, Hugh, is start this side and just walk round so everybody can see themselves in the mirror. Because what I want to ask you today is, you know, when you look in the mirror, when you got up this morning, what did you see when you looked in that mirror? Huh? Don't trip over the step, for goodness sake. Yeah, yeah. What did you see when you looked in the mirror this morning? Okay. Round of applause for Hugh for that. Okay, just put that down somewhere. Out the front. No. Yeah, somewhere. Out the way. All right, okay. Right. We'll come back to that in a minute. Hey, it's almost the end of January. What are you cheering for? It means that almost a 12th of the year has gone already. I mean, that's mad, isn't it? Here we are, hurtling into 2018. And do you ever find, every now and again, you just think, where's the time going? You know, life is just whizzing along, and I know you won't find this easy to believe, but 2 weeks ago I had a birthday and I was 55 years of age. I mean, I know you can't believe that, because you're thinking I'm not the other way. Yeah, all right, okay, just to get it right. You know, but you think, where's that gone? 55. When we came back here to Grimsby, I was only 32, asked to lead the church. By my maths, that's 23 years. Wow. And you go, And do you ever think, you're cruising through life and life's just going on and sometimes it's just like a bit of a routine. And you think, actually, is there more to life? Should there be more to life than this? You know, when I look at Scripture and I think about the dynamics of the Christian life, do you ever get, you just feel, I just wonder if I'm in a little bit of a rut, in a little bit of routine. Well, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, to take us above that. Even though we've got routines in our life, even though we've got things we've got to do, but actually there's a plane that God wants us to live on that is not mundane. It's something higher than that. And the Holy Spirit wants to breathe into our lives on such a regular basis that keeps us on a higher plane. We sang a song, it's an older song that we sang, I think it was the second song that the guys led us in this morning, Lord, I Come to You. Remember that one? Darlene Sheck's song from, goodness knows, must be 25 years ago probably now. And it says, Lord, I come to you. And then it says, let my heart be changed, renewed. See, there's the key, isn't it? It's not just coming to God's good, coming to God's right, but there's something in the doing of that that prompts a change I found in my life when I come to God. Something quite often changes in me. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, because it's a good change. It's a transformation change that's good. I want to share a scripture with you this morning that I want to read it, and I think it'll come up on screen, from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. I'll read from the Amplified Bible. And Paul says this, and we all, with unveiled face, continually... Everybody say continually. Seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I'm going to unpack that a little bit. You know, we sing another song quite often, and the words say, we go from glory to glory to glory. Yeah? We'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. We go from glory to glory, forever changed. We're forever changed. Do you ever sense that it's a process in your life? God is taking you on a journey. You're not at the end product yet. You're not where you started, but there's a journey, there's a process. And Paul often talks about that in his writings. When he writes to the church in Rome, in Romans 1, verse 17, he talks about a journey of faith to faith. He talks about, in 2 Corinthians 2, he talks about life to life. He also talks about death to death. How's your transformation going? How's your life progressing? Would you say it's I'm going from glory to glory. I'm not the same, but I'm moving forward. Or do you feel it's a bit stagnant? Or do you feel I'm even probably going downhill? God wants to lift you up this morning, wants to raise you up, wants to send you out of this place with a spring in your step. It's the end of January, but who cares? We're going to go forward in 2018 with the blessing and favor of God upon us. And the Spirit gives us strength so that we're ready and equipped to be all that God wants us to be in and through our lives. You know, God wants to see his kingdom advance in our area, in our towns, in our communities, in the places where you go, the people you rub shoulders with. He wants to see his kingdom advance, and you are the agent for it. You're the agent for it. And we can only do that, see his kingdom advance, if we're carrying something of his presence and something of his glory. How many of you know that God's intention right from the beginning of creation was that his glory was known to man? Huh. If you read Psalm 8, the psalmist is reflecting on creation. And he said, when God made Adam, he clothed him with glory, the presence of God. And then, of course, we know that Satan came along and tempted Adam and Eve and caused them to sin. And all of a sudden, God turns up again, and as he did at the end of the day, and he started, where's Adam? Adam's hiding. And he calls out to him. And he says to Adam, you know, why are you hiding? He said, well, I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? What's changed? Sin had come into the situation. And something of the glory that God had clothed him with had been removed. And now all of a sudden, he's exposed before a righteous God. I was naked. They were not naked before. And it seems from that point in Genesis where that downward transformation came. It seems like then there's quite a period in Scripture where the glory of God we read very little about or see very little of. And then you get an account of a guy called Moses. And he's looking after sheep in the backside of the desert. And all of a sudden he has an encounter with God. And it starts off with a bush that's burning. And it doesn't seem to extinguish. And this bush, and he's drawn to it, and all of a sudden this voice speaks from the bush. And it says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. This is holy ground. And the glory of God is there. And he encounters the presence of God. And then he says to Moses, he said, I'm going to call you up to the mountain. I want you to lead God's people. And ultimately, he leads them and he says, I want to call you up to a mountain. And I want you to come, and it's going to be a holy mountain. And the people of God will have to stay at the bottom of the mountain. I just want you really right at the top. And nobody's to touch this mountain because it's going to be holy. The glory of God is going to descend upon it. And you read about it in Exodus 24. It says Moses climbed the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of God settled over Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called out of the cloud to Moses. In the view of all the Israelites below, the glory of God looked like a raging fire at the top of the mountain. All of a sudden, the glory of God now is back on the scene. That's God's intention, for the glory of God to be experienced by mankind. Do you know that God wants you to experience his glory? okay, let's take the journey a little bit more. So now Moses has experienced the glory of God. The people of God have seen it from a distance. And then God speaks to Moses and said, I want you to build me something. I want you to build a tent of meeting and then a tabernacle, a place where I can come and dwell, where you can meet with me. And so they build this tabernacle, and it's a fascinating story. But let me jump to Exodus chapter 40, where it says this, verse 33, so at last Moses finished the work, and then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the glory had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So all of a sudden now the glory of God is right in the center of the camp of the Israelites, God's people, for all to see. And then, of course, we know that subsequent to the tabernacle came the temple. David commissioned his son Solomon to build a temple. And when they built it, it says in 2 Chronicles 5:11, that when the house was finished, same language, Moses, when the tabernacle was finished, the glory of God came. When the house was finished, then the house was filled with the glory of the Lord. So you see this through the Old Testament. And then you come to the New Covenant. And it says in Hebrews 3, verse 6, that Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house. How many of you are glad that you are God's house today? There's another house. How many know that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin? And when he did it, he said, it is finished. The same language. You know, when the tabernacle was finished, the glory came. When the temple was finished, the glory came. When Jesus completed the work on the cross to atone for your sin and mine, the glory comes. And it's for each one of us. 1 Corinthians 3, don't you know that you are the temple of God and his spirit dwells in you? I think in the West, we probably have a slightly different understanding of the holiness of a temple than you would get probably in many Eastern cultures. Temples in Eastern cultures are so very often holy, holy places for them in their settings and culture and religions. Maybe in the West, we probably haven't got it quite the same in terms of buildings, but actually, we're not talking about a building today. We're talking about us as individuals. It's great that we've got a building that we can come and we can gather, and there's something about places that is important. But we're separated out for him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15 says, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never! It's this whole thing about holiness. When those temples were completed, when that tabernacle was completed, it was made holy. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, set your life on a right course, he said, you've been made holy. The old is gone, the new has come. Sin has been obliterated in your life and you're a brand new person. How many of you are glad about that? And you're holy people. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you're a holy person. You are a holy person. In the Old Testament, if you took stuff into the tabernacle or into the temple that was just not right, then you would die. That's how holy these places were. If you took stuff in there that just wasn't right. In the New Testament, if we allow wrong things into the temple, what's the temple? It's you and I. If we allow wrong things into our lives, it has its consequences. Whoa, it has its consequences. The glory of God seems to somehow diminish. The presence of God seems to somehow be not the same as a lack of God's power. But when you bring the right things into the temple, the right things into your life, it seems like we go from glory to glory. There's a progression that is good, a progression that is wholesome, a progression that is powerful for each one of us. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be with me. What does it say? I will live in them. Hugh, just grab that mirror again, please. I want you to look in this mirror again. And I want you to look in this mirror thinking about this scripture. I will live in them. God is living in you. Who do you see in that mirror? What do you see now? Yeah. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. God is living in you. I tell you, when you get up tomorrow morning and you look in the mirror, I just don't want you to see the complexion of your face. No comments, please. But I want you to see yourself in a new light. That Christ is in you. Christ is living in you. You know, when you get up in the morning, apparently, some of you may have heard of John G. Lake, famous evangelist. I think he was in Africa, wasn't he, for a while, missions guy. And apparently he used to get up, excuse me, in the morning and get dressed, all togged up, and put his best gear on. And he used to stand in front of this full-length mirror. And he used to point at the mirror and speak out loud. And he said, that suit contains Christ. He was wearing his suit. Contains Christ. When you look in the mirror and you see yourself and you see yourself all geared up, and some of you spend longer at it than others, I know. But what do you see? You are Christ. The display of his splendor. And I want to encourage you to be God inside minded. Let me just say that. God inside minded. God inside minded. Mindful that Christ is in you. The hope of glory. The glory of God in the Old Testament tabernacle. Now the glory of God in the church, you and I. And I want to encourage us on this journey to go from glory to glory. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is in the process of transforming our lives. At least I find that in my life. You know, it seems like where I was isn't where I am, and where I am is not where I'm going to be. I've said that before. And fundamentally, I suppose, the question is, do we want to change? Do we want to change? You know, I mentioned the song, we go from glory to glory, we'll never be the same. We go from glory forever, we are changed. Do we want to be on this journey? Do we want to see God's presence, his glory, his power, his anointing manifest to greater degree in our lives? Not only affects us, but it reflects something and affects something of the world around us. How many know that the world around us needs some effect for good in 2018? Actually, it's really, really simple. And the problem with simple things is I sometimes miss them, and maybe you do too. But I'll put that scripture up again, and we'll read it from the English Standard Version. 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Here it is. Very simple. Look. 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 Look to God. Behold his glory. You know, why do we take time in worship? Why do we take time just wanting to give space for God to speak to us when we gather like this, and hopefully in your individual settings at home you do that? Why do we do that? Because in the looking and in the beholding of God and his glory, our attention goes on him. As the old song says, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We take stock and recognize and appreciate afresh and anew the splendor and the majesty of God. And as we witness it, there's no way we cannot be affected. We're transformed. And so as we witness it, we become the display of the glory that we seek. Does that sound odd? As we witness it, as we seek God, we begin then to display the glory that we seek. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, seems to indicate that as we just take time out with him, it can change so much. It can transform our thinking, it can transform our understanding, transform our perspective of who we are. But not only that, it begins to transform us in a way that people notice. The world around us begins to see. Behold, take him in with that sense of awe. What is awe? That mixed sense of reverence, fear, and wonder. Do you ever get to that place when you're thinking about God? Reverence, fear, and wonder. We're in the presence of the living God. This holy God who's called us to be holy. And wants to draw us to himself. I'm going to invite the musicians to come up, and we'll draw this to close. Because when we really have that personal encounter with him, he was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, it changes everything. It changes it all. We go from one degree of God's glory, understanding, experience of his presence to another. And we're never the same. You think about Isaiah in the Old Testament, and he describes what happens when he saw the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord, he was seated on a throne, he was high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, and the glory of the Lord was all around. And there were seraphim there, and they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he said, in the midst of it all, and seeing all that, and experiencing all that, I saw the Lord. He said, in the midst of it all, I realized how wretched I was. Woe to me. But you know what? It didn't stay like that. Because God sent a seraph with a coal from the altar, and it came and it touched Isaiah's lips. And all of a sudden, Isaiah was transformed. And he said, actually, if you're looking for someone to go, I'm the one. Lord, here I am. Send me. God's about transformation. And Hugh said earlier, and other people have commented on it earlier on in our service, you know, maybe we've come in here today and feeling a little bit weighted down with things. You don't have to go out like that. You do not have to go out like that. Glimpse, look, behold the God of glory. The powerful, almighty God who was and is to come. Many things in this world clamor for our attention, don't they? But if we can keep looking, if we can keep drawing aside, if we can keep coming into his presence and beholding his glory, then that glory will begin to affect us and transform us one degree on another. You know, when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, the work was completed. The Bible says that the veil in the temple, which was a separation between the really holy of holy place and the holy place, that place that only had limited access to one or two. When Jesus said it is finished, that veil, that curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom, supernaturally broke open. And access was made now for all to the presence of God. Can I encourage you today that the veil that was once in place, that separated you from God, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, that veil is now no longer there. And there is no reason for you to put it back up. There's no reason for the devil to try and encourage you that you're not worth it, you're not good enough, that curtain goes back up. That curtain has gone. It's been ripped down. It's opened access for you into the presence of God. I just believe that God wants us to, as we journey into 2018, be very conscious that when we look in the mirror, we're carriers of His presence, we're carriers of His glory. Christ lives in us. When you look in the mirror tomorrow, remember that. Don't let the devil put a veil back up so you can't see in that mirror in the right way again. And I just want us to, why don't you just reach your hands out where you are, and let's just take a moment to focus on the Lord for a few minutes. Lord, we sang that song. We come to You. Let our hearts be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that we find in You. Lord, today across this congregation, may there be fresh encounters with You today. Fresh sense of Your presence, a fresh understanding, a fresh revelation of who You are and who we are in You. Breathe by Your Spirit in this place today. Draw us close to You. Let the devil's lies be quashed. And let the encouragement of Your word echo in our ears that we are children of the living God. So for each one here today whose arms are outstretched in receiving mode from You, Lord, I pray that You will bring encouragement and bring something more of Your glory to bear in their lives today in a fresh and a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one day, John in the New Testament said this, one day, when Christ appears, 1 John 3, verse 2, we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. One day. But right here, right now, we can draw into His presence and know His grace and His favor and His glory upon our lives. And that transforms the way we walk. It transforms when you go into your workplace tomorrow, how you see things, how you think about things, the people you rub shoulders with, how you react with them and engage with them. And I pray that the glory of God will be upon each one of you in a powerful and a new way, repeatedly in 2018. Amen.